For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Something that's very, very important for us, and in the area of healing and health, there is much that the Word of God has to say, and the more we get that into our hearts, the more faith arises. So let's open in prayer as we come around this particular message. We praise you and thank you, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful benefits that you daily load us with, the benefits of salvation. And Father, we ask that tonight you show us through your Word and by your Spirit, you show us what is the wonderful treasures that you have for your people. In Jesus' name, glory to God. So the title tonight is We Are Redeemed from Sickness, but that is not just saying that we're redeemed only from sickness, but it means that in redemption there is everything that's in the curse has been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the word redeem means to buy back. I'm sure you're aware of that. And redemption, biblically, is that the price has been paid to buy back mankind from sin and its curse. And the price that was paid was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to know that. So the Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has made the payment. The Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us by his blood and through his blood. So let's have a look at that in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, first of all. So it's important to see that the Lord Jesus Christ came because mankind is separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins. And if that payment for sin was not made, then mankind would stay dead or separated from God. But we see that the Lord Jesus Christ has done a wonderful work, and he has paid for our redemption. Glory to God. Colossians 1, 12 to 17. So I'll read this through, starting from verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now notice what it says in the next part here, verse 13 and 14. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you believe that? If you're born again, you've been delivered from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. If you're born again, you're in the kingdom of his dear Son. You're in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, in whom we have, that's present tense, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now what we can see here, and it's very important for us to see this, is that the Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, has paid the penalty. So God, the Bible says in Acts 20, we won't turn to it, says God purchased the church with his own blood. So we've been purchased, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls his blood precious. And the reason I'm talking about this is because you need to see that God didn't pay for that redemption and then expect us to neglect what's in the redemption. Now we know there's forgiveness of sins. I just said that. Forgiveness of sins. So all your sins are washed clean in the eyes of God. And you come and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive him as your Saviour. You're born again. And you come into the kingdom of God, and sin and all the curse attached to sin has been paid for. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ has done a work. And we can see that also in Galatians chapter 3. Let's look at this one. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. And there's one particular part I want you to really see here. And it's in verse 13. says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the part I want you to see is where it says, being made a curse for us. So he was made a curse for you and for me. Notice it says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Well, if you go back into Deuteronomy 28, we don't have time tonight, but if you go back into Deuteronomy 28, it talks about, in Deuteronomy 28, all that's in the curse of the law. And in that curse is sickness and disease and poverty and destruction. And so we've been redeemed or bought back from that curse, from the curse of the law. And it says he was made a curse for us. So he became the substitute for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So we can see that he was made a curse for us, that the blessing might come upon us, as it says there, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, and that's non-Jews, through Jesus Christ. So blessing has come upon us and is available to us, and in that blessing is healing and health and strength, all of that. Blessing is available through the redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for. And as we believe that, faith will arise in our hearts. Let's look at Acts 10. Acts 10, 36 to 38. And you'll see that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that good things, blessing comes, and that includes healing. And we can see that in Acts 10. And we'll start from verse 36 and we'll go to verse 38. So Acts 10, 36 to 38, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. So that's important, isn't it? We are now at peace with God. Sin is not held against us. And what's attached to sin is death, the curse. The wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. So that whole death cycle is attached to sin. But we have peace, as it says there, this word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And do you confess him as Lord of all? If you're born again, you should, yes. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Notice what it says in verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now think about the words in this. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Now what's under the category of good? Blessing, isn't it? What's under the category of good? Healing. Because it says there, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Okay, a lot of sickness is oppression of the devil. And we need to see that, because the devil uses the curse to oppress people. So Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So is it God's will for us to be free from oppression of the devil? Yes, it is. We read before that we have been delivered from the power of darkness. And surely oppression of the devil is part of that power of darkness. So the Lord Jesus Christ went about doing good. So healing is good. Healing is good, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Let's look at an example. We saw before that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Let's see that blessing of Abraham that the Lord Jesus Christ pointed to in Luke 13. Luke 13, 10 to 17. Let's look at that. Luke 13, 10 to 17. So we'll be at the end of this asking if you'd like prayer, if you have a need of healing or restoration, or refreshing. If you have a need of that, there'll be the laying on of hands at the end of this, because we do believe that. And we'll read a couple of scriptures which show that very soon. So we're looking at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. So Luke 13, starting from verse 10, and we'll go to verse 17. It says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath." So let's just make it clear here that Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher and preacher this planet has ever seen. And the Bible says that many came to hear his word, to hear the word preached. So preaching in God's eyes is very, very important, preaching and teaching. Glory to God. Verse 11 says, "And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." So you can see that there was some sort of devilish oppression with this woman. And yes, you know, the doctors could say, well, this has happened, and that's what's, you know, she might have this wrong and that wrong. And that's right. In the physical, that might be correct, might be very correct. But obviously they can't see in the spiritual. And in the spiritual, there can be all types of things that are in that oppression. So she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 18 years. 18 years. And you might think, well, it's going to go on and on and on forever and she'll never get healed. No, no, it doesn't matter how long you might have had something wrong with you. The Lord is merciful. "And was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself." Terrible situation, isn't it? Verse 12, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." There's the word of God spoken to her. "And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God." So let's just make it clear here. Sometimes when Jesus spoke a word or laid his hands on someone, there was immediate healing. Sometimes the healing started and it was a gradual healing. But the point is that faith made that connection. Faith made that connection. And we can lay hands on the sick, the Bible says, and they shall recover. So you believe that when hands are laid on you, that recovery is present. And it might be immediate, it might be not immediate, but obviously we can receive what God has done and has enabled, and we'll see that. "And he laid," verse 13, "and he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified." Now, there's going to be people that say some stupid things, and we see it here in verse 14. "And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation." Indignation that someone was healed after having an infirmity for 18 years. Goodness. "Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord was very direct to him. Notice what he says in verse 15. "The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman," notice what it says here, "being a daughter of Abraham," now we have the blessing of Abraham through what Jesus has done, through his the redemption provided, "and ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound low these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. But notice what he said in verse 16. She was a daughter of Abraham. She had what the Bible calls a covenant with God, and that covenant is cut by blood. And we have a better covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. "Whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed." So in the eyes of Jesus, as a daughter of Abraham, she was allowed to be loosed. She'd been bound by Satan, but what did he say to her? He said, "Thou art loosed from thine infirmity." The Lord Jesus Christ is the solution for healing and health and strength. Glory to God. Let's also look at Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. So go back. Gospel of Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was teaching and preaching, and many would come out to hear him teach and preach. And he preached and taught, and then you will see that he prayed for the sick and did things like that and delivered people. Verse 16, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." That sounds like a where he has become our substitute. He was in his ministry in that sense. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And on the cross he became a curse for us. And the Bible says, by whose stripes or whippings or lashes we were healed. So healing is available for even the Christian today, those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many that don't take advantage of that. Let's make that very clear. There's many that don't know much about healing, even though the healing scriptures are very clear right through. You go on and on. I could preach for hours on this. In fact, there's a whole section on the website full of healing sermons that you can listen to. Glory to God. Let's have a look at that. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. 1 Peter 2 24. Now in 1 Peter 2 24, we see the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And that work that he has done was he took our sins upon himself. He became a curse for us. So sin and everything attached to sin. Okay. Now, obviously, when you're born again, you receive forgiveness of sins. But in redemption, really, there's everything that's attached to sin is paid for and answered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're looking here at 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. And many of you may already know this quite well. It says, "Who his own self," talking about Jesus, "bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." And it's not just spiritual healing here. It's spirit, soul and body. So notice that he bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, that is separate from sins and no longer sinners, but saints, servants of righteousness, the Bible says we are, by whose stripes you were healed. And it's important for us to see that there is that link between sin and darkness and the curse and sickness and disease and infirmity and so on. Obviously, there was no sickness, disease, infirmity, etc., until man fell and the curse came into the world. And that's just a basic doctrine. It's not a hard one to understand. But at the fall of man, the Bible says that sin entered into the world and death by sin. So the whole death cycle started through sin. So as a born-again believer, you want to live unto righteousness. You want to be a person who loves and not hates others. You want to be a person who walks in love, because the Bible says faith works by love. Let's have a look at Mark 16, because we're coming to how can we receive healing. Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. So how can we receive that healing that's been provided for? Well, the Lord shows us and there's several ways in which we can, but the one we'll look at tonight is through prayer and the laying on of hands. And Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. Let's look at this one. Verses 17 and 18. Well, let's just go back a little bit further. Go back to verse 15. And says, this is talking about Jesus. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the gospel is very important, isn't it? Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if a gospel of salvation is being preached, in that gospel of salvation is the full redemption. We call it the full gospel, the full redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just, oh, you believe on Jesus and you'll go to heaven, although that's the most important part, obviously, that you're forgiven of all your sins. But you've got to live on the earth where all the curse is and where the devils are and where all types of disastrous things are, and you have to function and do things for God. Well, he wants you well. He wants you strong. In fact, we won't turn to it, but 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So here we see here in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Okay, so let's just go through this. In my name shall they cast out devils. They're not just talking about devils in people. It's also devils in your life or devils in your circumstances. Get them out. Cast them out in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, when you're born again, you can go on to be filled with the Spirit and speak with new tongues. Verse 18, they shall take up serpents if they drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. Well, it's not talking about deliberately going and picking up serpents. It's talking about if those serpents happen to get in your way, or if you do happen to accidentally drink a deadly poison or ingest a deadly poison, you have the blessing of God. You can claim this in the scriptures. You can say, I claim immunity and strength against this in Jesus' name. But here, the one we want to look at, one right at the end part here, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Notice it's in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So notice that recovery is available. There's got to be a faith connection. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus has paid the penalty? Have you been born again? Do you believe that you are redeemed from the curse of the law? If you've been born again, you can now come into the fullness of God's redemption. But you know, when we pray, you've got to believe that you receive. And we'll just look at this one right at the very... in Mark 11. Let's turn back a few chapters to Mark 11. And I want you to see that when you pray, you believe you receive. So when we pray, believe that you receive the healing. Believe that you receive it right then and there. Okay, so notice what it says in verse 24 of Mark 11. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, well, that would cover healing, wouldn't it? What things soever you desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. All right, so sometimes within people they need to have a build-up of their faith by listening to the word of healing and getting into the word and being built up in it. And I've found that when people get built up in the word of faith, they get built up in that, their faith gets built up, then the receiving part becomes much easier because there's that faith connection. Faith cometh by hearing, this is in Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So sometimes you may have to pray over people several times before that's that connection. But certainly it is available, and they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I just want you to also see, if we look at verse 25, we've got to make sure that we're not holding things in our hearts that we shouldn't be holding. And look in verse 24, we've read verse 24 about prayer, and there's the word "and" in verse 25, and it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Okay, so you can see that if you don't forgive, if you don't walk in love, that can be a barrier to receiving. And I say this deliberately because faith works by love. Okay, so love God with all your heart, love your neighbour as yourself. Neighbour is not just your next door neighbour, although you should love your next door neighbour. Neighbour is whoever you meet up with in life. But notice, it is a barrier. It says, forgive you if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So that becomes a barrier, doesn't it? So we need to make sure that, you might have had someone who's done something really bad. You can't afford to wait for a feeling before you forgive them. You forgive them by faith. You say, "I forgive that person by faith and cast all my care upon you, Lord, in the name of Jesus." Well, we're going to, let's bow our heads and pray. And I believe that the Lord is here and His power is present to heal. But you may need to get something right in your life first. And let me just take you through a prayer. And if you haven't got that thing right in your life, you need to forgive someone, or there's something not right, I want you to fill in the blanks as I go through this. If you're not born again, you put up your hand when you come up. If you come out the front, you say, "I'm not born again. I need to be saved, and have the Lord Jesus Christ as my Saviour, and we'll deal with that and bring you through. If you are born again, then the Lord Jesus Christ is your Saviour. He is your Redeemer. So let's just, you can pray this with yourself. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. Lord, I know that there are things that I must get right with you. And I seek you, Lord, now. Forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I thank you, Lord. I forgive. I choose to walk in love. In Jesus' name.